Welcome to C3 San Diego. Need something fresh, real, and powerful in your life? Connect with us on social media, get live stream service notifications, podcasts, and up-to-date information on upcoming events. We are so glad you're joining us for a powerful, life-transforming message from one of our C3 San Diego pastors. We would love to hear about how God is impacting your life through this ministry. Please share your experience with us at info@c3sandiego.com. If you'd like to be a part of what C3 Church is doing in the city of San Diego and beyond, you can contribute financially by going to c3give.com and choosing the giving option that works best for you. We hope you enjoy this message.
God, we just thank you. God, we thank you for the committed faithfulness of this house. God, I thank you that you're stirring something in everyone here, Lord. God, I thank you as we just open our hearts. We open our minds. God, you're going to do something tonight that's not just a jacuzzi experience, Lord, that we feel good in the moment, God, but there's going to be transformation in this house. That, God, we put our stuff aside and we start to see your vision for our life. That, God, we crush fear tonight. We step out in faith and we give it a go. In your holy name we pray. Amen. Come on, we can be seated right now. Give it up. Man, I'm telling you, a couple things. This is just a reminder because all your kids got one of these in kids' church. And they're going to get one next Sunday if they missed it this morning. But I tell you that, I don't want kids' church to outgive main church. So if I need to buy you a piggy bank, I'll do it. I love it because my little girl, she just said, Daddy, I don't want to go to school anymore. I just want to go to church full time. I'm like, what do you want to do? I just like everyone. Aww. I just want to listen to worship music. I mean, just to hear the things that come out of my daughter's mouth, you can't put a price tag on that. And then she was telling me this morning that she's a money magnet. Yeah. What are you going to do with that? She goes, I'm going to give it to church. Yeah. Come on. We'll see what she says when I make her pay car insurance. You know, but, you know, you guys are awesome. Who knows? I'll never get to my preaching if you guys play. It's too anointed. I'll just like chipmunk. I know it's squirrel. All right. I'm chipmunk. Thank you. You guys are awesome. You know, I was telling someone in the green room, or a bunch of people in the green room, I preached on vision casting 2 weeks ago. And, well, you know, while you're in the vein of it, you might as well just write your second one, vision catching. I mean, it's, you know, it's perfect. And then, you know, that was 2 weeks ago. And I just realized I'm not wasting another time doing that. Because then last night, well, two nights ago, I knew it was coming. I'm listening to my podcast, my Bible app, and then God starts talking to me about vision. I'm like, you already talked to me 2 weeks ago. And then, man, last night, this book I've had on my shelf, who knows how long it's been there? It's been there forever. I'm like 9 books behind right now, and I crush books. Yeah. And then I'm all of a sudden like, why is that thing highlighting? I don't even know what book it is. I pull it out. Don't ever read a Stephen Furtick book before you're about to preach. Then it just train wrecked my whole, it was like just a bad bottle of wine at this point. So now I'm like, all right, God, what do you got for me? So this is fresh for somebody. I mean, this is fresh for somebody. Didn't do me any favors, but I'm glad it's going to do someone some favors. You know, there's so much, you know, vision has been the thing that changed my life in this church. You know, I've always been dedicated, always been faithful, I've always been like hard worker, but vision is what takes you to the next level. And so for me to get asked to stand in this pulpit, when you got Dave Martin in the morning, and definitely not as funny as him, even though I am going to crack a couple jokes, I'd say his is like anointed joking. Mine is just like Pastor Jurgen Nadi joking. But what I realized was I came in this house and God started to do some stuff. He started to give me a bigger vision than I ever thought possible, which almost like I was fine with the vision I had. But when you get stretched, you start to get excited about your life. You know, growing up in church, I wasn't excited about church. I was excited about Friday night. Church, that's Sunday. I'm living it for Friday night. And I'm telling you, when I'm more pumped for church twice on a Sunday, I'll never forget, I was going through culture class and talking about, yeah, we like you to serve and soak. I'm like, you guys crazy? You're lucky I'm here for one. Next thing you know, I'm going to three and I'm pumped out of my mind. You know, and then I had this revelation that, man, I'm coming to one service to get all the junk washed off me from the week, and then I'm going to the second to get filled up so I could take down the devil. Yeah. Man, three and four, who knows what that's going to do. But so it's the same thing for our pastors to lay out a vision. Man, we're going to buy a building. Yeah. That was crazy talk. Talking to a Christian kid that went to Westmont that we couldn't even get out of a high school gym. Right. To buy a building, that was amazing. Yeah. To go after four buildings? Yeah. 16 buildings, people. Come on. Who's drinking the Kool-Aid for 16 buildings? Hey, if you're not yet, you will be, all right? It's faith. So let me just get into this. You know, it's funny, talking on vision, I've known this this story about this old snake. He went to the doctor and he told him, Doc, I think I need something for my eyes. I don't seem to be seeing very well these days. I keep running into things. The doctor fixed him up with a new pair of glasses and told him to return in a couple weeks for a checkup. So when he returned 2 weeks later, the doctor asked him how his vision was since he had new glasses. He said, great. It's amazing. Only problem is now I'm depressed. Well, why are you depressed? Asked the doctor. Didn't the glasses help? Oh, yeah, the glasses are great, Doc, replied the snake. The problem is when I got home, I realized I've been sleeping with a garden hose for the last 2 years. Just let the penny drop. Go ahead and put a quarter in my little piggy bank there. You know, it's about restored vision. You know, what I've seen the most in church is, you know, a lot of people had vision at one point, but they've just got burned out along the way. And it's, you know, it's like restored vision. Reminds me of another story about this guy. He was a blind beggar, but he used to love to make cookies with his next door neighbor. She was an older lady, and he would go over there once a week just to make cookies. And she would give him some flour, and they'd go through it, and anyways, he was missing for about 3 months. So the woman wondered what happened to him, and suddenly one day he knocked at the door and he shouted, hey, I'm Steve, I'm the blind beggar. The kind lady was in the middle of her bath, but she rushed out naked and, you know, the knowledge that the fellow was sightless and he wouldn't know what was going on, ran down the door, knocked, saw that it was Steve, the blind beggar, and said, where have you been? He said, well, I've been gone all these weeks because I had my eyesight operation. I got my eyesight restored. Wow. I never knew I was making cookies with you. I brought you some sweets to say thank you. That's restored vision, people. Hey, we can have fun in church, all right? Would it have helped if I started with scripture, or should we go there now? Okay. Hey, trust me. My mom is dying right now when this podcast comes out. So I'm going to come around John 14:12. Talk about restored vision. Because this is the verse that wrecked me about 4 nights ago listening to my app that I wish I wasn't listening to. I was going to preach on Moses. It's back in the green room if anyone wants notes on Moses and being coerced into hearing God's voice and stepping out in faith. That would have been a good preach. But nope, I read this verse, changed my life at least 3 nights ago. So very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing. And they will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. And that's right out of the book of John. And then my revelation, I sat there and I said, greater things than Jesus? Come on. Really? I mean, I've heard that verse I don't know how many times. But we're really going to do greater things than Jesus. And then, of course, what was the book laying next to my bed? 7 deep out of the 9. Stephen Furtick's Greater. That was the name of the book. How many of you read that book? I read the verse, I have a revelation, and then I look over to my bed, and there it is, the word greater. So, of course, I had to pick it up, and what chapter did I open it to? Vision. Having a greater vision. Lord, I'm slow, I'm not that slow. I'll go down to my study and start reading, and that's what I did. And what I realized is I grew up in a C2 church, and I preached it before, but I said something else about it back then. I've had my new revelation. It's Christian complacency. Wow. I was just a Christian doing church on a Sunday and never saw a vision that woke me up, that jumped me out of bed in the morning that I was going to do greater things. And then I came to C3, and I was like praying about what has it been for me at C3? How did I catch a vision of our pastors and start getting pumped about church that got me serving in church? I'll never forget it. I was like, this whole vision builders thing used to drive me crazy. You know, how many have been here 7 years or longer? Stand up. I want to stand up. Everybody else should start honoring right here, just a clap, because they built this house. Every one of them. So thank you for your faithful giving for the last 7 years. We've been in this building 7 years. Can you believe that? Well, almost seven. So I tell you that because faithful giving. Well, you could say, well, how do you know they're giving? Because anybody that's not giving gets irritated after about 3 months. Another tithe message, I'm out of here. Man, they don't even make it past their first vision builder round. I'm telling you, they've been through like seven rounds of vision builders and they keep sowing vision. You want to hear about breakthrough and testimonies? Ask one of the people you just saw stand. That was the same thing going on in my heart. My first vision builder's everything. I was like, what am I doing? And I wasn't even in the place that I said I was going to date. And you know what? My first tithe message, a week later, I meet my wife. Is that not crazy? I was like having this wrestle with God. I said, fine, God, take it. About 5 days later, I meet my wife at an airport. She didn't know it yet, but I'm just saying that's faithful tithing. She didn't have a revelation until she started tithing. Yeah. So here's the thing. Jesus isn't calling us to be greater. He's calling us to be greater with him through his Spirit. That was the revelation. But here's where I came from. What did C3 have? Well, C3 had someone that was casting vision, someone that already caught the vision, and then someone that was committed to the vision. See, I had to learn to cast, to catch, and then commit myself to the vision. Those are the three things that have changed my life. It's easy. We can cast it. But listen, when I was young and I went fishing with my grandpa, he was passionate about fishing. And I'm telling you, I went three times, and I hated it because we never caught a fish. On the fourth time, he had to bribe me to go. But man, we caught fish after fish, and I got addicted because I finally caught something. See, I was casting a lot. Casting isn't what's going to get you committed. It's when you get your first catch. So I'm telling you, you got to stick in it long enough to make sure you're getting a catch. Casting's one thing. You got to cast to catch, but you want to stay in it so you can get that first catch. And God is faithful. So here's what happened. The thing that's most imminent danger, this is what I realized, that what I was growing up in, it's far greater than ruining our lives. Because listen, my family was committed to God. They were in the house, but they weren't sold out. They didn't have vision for their life in the church. And so what I'm saying is my dad and my mom lost their vision for their life, and the enemy was able to come in. See, when it says, you build my house, I'll build your house, they attended church, and let's check the box. But they weren't catching the vision of what God had for their life. And I watched the devil come in. So it's more that they weren't ruining their lives, they were just wasting their lives. And I've seen it with so many of my friends that I went to college with. I've seen it with so many of my friends that say, yeah, we go to church on Sunday. Well, so did I for a long time. The difference is between going to church and catching a hold of that vision and that fire for what God has for our life. That's the difference, because when you get planted and hooked up and connected to someone with great vision, that's a God vision, then something comes alive on the inside of you. So it's no longer, I wasn't worried about ruining my life. I was just worried about wasting my life. See, as a young business person, I was just like, man, what am I doing? And then God started speaking to me. You're going to build my house. You're going to bring in doctors. You're going to train them. You're going to build multiple clinics. You're going to be the one percenter in my field. You're going to go on to change your profession. You're going to speak. I was freaking out. I was just fine with one doctor coming in. But see, I had to suddenly let God go. The more I sowed, the more I saw more. If it was good enough for my friends in church that were catching a fire, it was good enough for me. Stuff started to come alive. I would say at night, and I'd start seeing multiple clinics. I would start seeing multiple doctors. I would start seeing me speaking on platforms. But how would I ever get there? I didn't know the how, but I had to be faithful with the vision. It's amazing. So here's what I worry about. Mostly I worried about myself, and I'm just speaking about myself because that's all I can speak from. I was worried about myself, maybe in the same way like my parents, where I'd get stuck. We had something big. I had a dream on the inside of me. I didn't know what it was.
I didn't know what God exactly wanted for my life, but then when I got in good soil, it started coming alive on the inside of me. So many are stuck in the starting blocks, or they're dragging around baggage. You know, it's amazing how many people just don't want to let go of that baggage. But if you can't step through this door if you're holding on to that stuff that doesn't fit through the door. You know, when you get on the airplane, they say if you want carry-on, it's got to fit within here. So some people are like, well, it doesn't fit. I'm just going to stay back and miss my plane. I'm telling you, let that baggage go. See, the world is that I got to see it to believe it. Kingdom is you got to believe it, and then you'll see it. So it's just a kingdom mindset that freaks our mind out. See, we're frustrated where we are. We're confused about maybe moving forward and what it looks like. And what I realized is baseline living is not okay. It's not for a believer in Jesus. In this house was built on faith. Pastor Phil, he's a faith preacher. Pastor Jurgen, listen, he had a great ministry. He got under Pastor Phil's anointing, faith preaching. This house, faith. People that come in, guess what? It starts to come and lie. You'll either fold like a deck chair because you're like, I'm not doing it. I'm not going to step in faith. You got to show me. It's not going to be right for you. You got to yield and let faith build on the inside of you because it flows from the anointing flows down. And that's what we got to get. What I've noticed is there's a price to pay for Christian complacency. You know what it was in my life? It's cynical. We get a critical spirit. We get judgmental. We start looking at the church. Could be better here, could be better there. They just want my money. But what I've realized is when I let God heal that up, he restored vision and I came alive. And I realized is that's it. I am going to give. I am going to sow into this Vision Builders. We are going to take ground. We are going to go. Listen, do you think I had any idea I'd be up here doing this? No. I was selling crack for a living. I'm a chiropractor. That's a joke, people. But I'm just telling you. That was my wheelhouse. That's all I wanted. You ask my wife. My wife is sold out since day one she got saved. I want to be in ministry. You know what I was saying? Have a good time. I'll support the ministry. I'm an entrepreneur, businessman. I'll write the checks that fund the kingdom. Don't talk to me. My grandpa was a preacher. That was his wheelhouse. It's not mine. Year after year after year, and then God gets a hold of your heart. The vision starts increasing. The vision starts expanding. One day you're doing this. Next minute, all of a sudden, you're doing all this leadership stuff. Next thing you know, it's just, if God would have showed me here today, I would have ran the other way, but that's not how he works. He'll give you one word. And can you stand on that one word? See, when we look up one day and we're overwhelmed with a stack of regrets staring back at us, the frustration that starts to simmer on the back burner right now, and it starts to boil over and you start to get bitter maybe about opportunities missed, it's actually because we've lost our way. We've lost our vision. Like Vision Builders Weekend, this is where people get set free. I saw it in worship today, the second service. God said, now, watch what I'm going to do with your church. Watch what I'm going to do with this house. I had a word for Pastor Chittick. I saw something just crack right today. Today in Vision Builder Sunday, I saw something crack over the atmosphere of what's going to happen in this next season of this house. So get ready. You know, I know it's not easy, but don't tell me it's not possible. Jesus himself said it was. If he said it, I choose to believe it. God is more interested in total obedience more than your total understanding. I do not understand why he's taken me from where I was. I'm a chiropractor and I love it. I do not understand why I'm standing here preaching, but I don't care. I'm being obedient. And all I can do is, God, I trust you. God, I trust you. I still love this. I don't know what he's doing, but I'm still going to trust him. It's probably my wife's fault. But here's what I learned, and I just want to give you these kind of tips right here that will help you, because here's what happens. The other day I was at a wedding and I saw this great like railing, and I saw this pool, and like every good man, you come up to the railing and you say, I wonder if I jump from this second story railing if I could land in the pool. That's what a real man should say. Okay? And I'm not even hanging out with Beaver, you know, he would just been like, where's my skate? Okay, well, I'm going to Cherish next month. Okay. But what happened was I was looking over that railing and I felt the Holy Spirit say, you do this in life too. You calculate and judge, is the gap too big for you? And then you let fear creep in and you don't move. So I got convicted, went home, finished my message. So I'm going to use it. Figure if God's talking to me about it, I'll use it. Had to be for somebody else, not just me. But here's what happens is, church I grew up in was good enough. The vague, unrealistic aspirations of doing better that don't work in real life. Good enough leaves you stuck in stagnation. The minute we just say good, we gotta cancel good. The book came out, if you settle for good, you'll never be great. That's how I got my wife, by the way, that was my tagline. And I'm telling you, once you lick the lollipop of mediocrity, you suck forever. I say it all the time, it's a true statement. You guys need to hear that again? You got it, podcast it. But listen, here's what happens. You have good enough, I'm living a life that's good enough. But then over here, everybody preaches greatness. And it's this like word that's so far out here that like, man, I can't understand what greatness is. Well, think of Muhammad Ali or all these like, you know, they were in any sport, like the greats. Well, I'm here and it's good enough. That's too big of a gap. I'm too afraid to jump that far because I'm not gonna ever be the greatest. But what I love about the third way that Furtick preached on was greater. The life-altering understanding that God is ready to accomplish a kind of greatness in your life. But it's just being greater than you were yesterday. Greater than I was last night. Can I give 5% more consciousness to being greater? What does greater look like for a greater marriage? Can we give 5% more consciousness to having a greater marriage? To being a greater dad? 10% might be too much. But 5%, anybody can give 5% more. If I'm gonna run that half marathon, the San Diego half marathon, can I give 5% more training effort? You think I'd beat my time? It's like that way in life. So how does God teach vision? He doesn't so much teach it, he reveals it and you catch it. And so what I've learned is he does it in two ways. Number one and two, surrender and trust. I hate that word. Dave Martin was saying, if you wrote the Bible, would you take some stuff out? I'm like, yeah, that surrender part, maybe. Which leads to vision and generosity. Beautiful. But God gives you the vision once you know you can trust him. Right. It's a freaky thing. But it's what's worked in my life. See, I had some major debts, some tax bills. And I had this thing in my mind, I worked it out, like I was going to do this and calculate it over this amount of months, and I was going to pay off my taxes in 6 months. Because, you know, I was this young entrepreneur. I didn't know taxes were coming. No one ever told me that. I just crushed it. I was like, yes, my first year of crushing it. Then the IRS bill came. Okay, there went that pipe dream. $25,000 I owed. So then Vision Builders came. No joke. And I said, well, obviously I got to pay off IRS first. I mean, God, you have grace. The IRS doesn't. And God said, no, no, no. God said, no, my ways are not your ways. You commit this and I'll take care of that. I mean, does that make sense to anybody? No, it didn't make sense to me. But then, you know, Pastor Juergen preached this faith message. I mean, it was faith-filled vision builder. I went up there with a commitment and bam. You ask my wife, not only did that go away, we had the following year a crazier story happen where that $25,000, $26,000 went away. I got a $7,000 return. And then the next year, because you can't get it all figured out in 1 year, people, when you're just crushing it because you're already halfway through the year, I got a $50,000 tax bill the next year. Say, if it worked last year, I'm doing it this year, and that $50,000 went completely away. How does that happen? It's called supernatural provision, and the Holy Spirit opened doors. Now, it wasn't like a snow angel came down and paid my bill. God opened a door for a CPA that no one could get to that said to me, Jewish guy, amazing, he said, man, you got to quit giving so much to your church. And I said, what do you think? And he goes, this is unexplainable. And then I'm keeping giving. Matter of fact, I'm going to give more. Thank you for that. Because he couldn't explain anything that was going on because it was supernatural. So I kept giving. Stick it to the devil. So I simply want to ask the Lord in this moment, listen, that you just open your eyes and start to expand and let your heart heal, get bigger in faith. That's what it is. Let God expose some stuff. You got to imagine the possibility that God has a vision for your life and it's greater than you ever expected. You have to start seeing like, listen, I have this idea for a business. It's a little crazy. That's a God vision. Patrick, you know what I'm talking about. It's amazing because God changes. See, the same clothes I wore as a kid, as I grew up, I had to get bigger clothes. I don't like the fact that I'm still getting bigger clothes, but listen. So at some time, let's go backwards. But what I'm saying is, I can't fit in my fifth grade shoes anymore, okay? And it's a good thing because I've grown. That's how vision works. We got to quit thinking about that old you and that old stuff. It's new wineskins. And so we got to get rid of the labels you were given when you were young. Greater than the cynicism that you may still have as you're getting older. Greater than life spent aimlessly, God has something greater for you. Greater than empty earthly success. See, I was all about success. Man, I'm telling you, when you said, think of your favorite car, I was like, Lord, I want a mean-looking 4Runner. That was my vision. Man, I was in a broke-down Prelude. Slammed the door fell off. Lord, I'll take a 4Runner. That's how big my vision was. I'll never forget when I sold that thing to my buddy Kevin Deddy in this house. I was like, that was my first love. You better not, you know, it's my first thing, my pride and joy that I paid for. That 4Runner was everything. Now it's like, I don't know why, but Range Rovers look so nice. You know, I don't know, I'm trying to get rid of that, but I mean, shoot. I mean, I'll take it if someone, you know, it's like, but it's amazing how vision expands. I didn't look at things the same. You know, I was like, our date night Outback was the most incredible steak I've ever had until I went to Fleming's. Now it's hard to go back to Outback. Vision changes. And we all should be moving and let God stretch us, reveal us, and show us. What I used to think, man, to generate $100, I'd have to mow a lot of lawns. A lot of lawns I was mowing for $100. And then I got smart and there was a lot of people mowing lawns for me. It's true. I was 16 and I had like five of my brother's friends mowing lawns for me with weed eaters. I was making $100 a lawn, not doing a darn thing. They were getting $12 a lawn. I feel bad for them. It's child labor laws, but I'm telling you, my vision changed. After three seasons of not having a vision for myself mowing lawns, I got a bigger vision. And then I sold that thing, and then I got another vision and another vision, until now the thought of thinking everybody in here can generate, if we start allowing God to speak to us, generate wealth for his kingdom, is a whole nother bubble. I get so pumped over new businesses, I have to calm down half the time. And it's for every one of you. See, when you live this way and you let God give you a vision that's bigger than you, he'll empower you with three things. Are you ready for this? Yeah. That was kind of weak. Are you ready for this? Yeah. That felt way better. Number one, the confidence to know that nothing is impossible with him. The next C3 is the clarity to see the next step he's calling you to take. The confidence, the clarity, and the last one of the three C's is the courage to do anything he tells you to do. David told Solomon, be strong and courageous and do the work. But right here, it's the confidence, it's the clarity, and it's the courage. Yeah. God's greater vision for your life isn't based in a formula. It's built on a promise. God created you for more. Luke 12:28. I think we have it up. Oh, that's a nice little screen there. Thank you. Right there. If then God so clothed the grass, which today in the field and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you? Oh, you of little faith. Why do I put that there? He's taking care of everything. Why wouldn't he take care of you? We might say the gap is too big for that new thing, God, that you put. No. He'll send the right people to you. He'll put the right finances around you. He'll open the right doors for you that no one else could even think was possible. But we got to stand on that verse right there. That if he's doing all these other things, why wouldn't he do it for you? Sometimes it's a self-worth problem. We got to know we are worthy. Dream big. Start small. Ignite God's vision for your life. Start today. Deuteronomy 8:18. Basically what it's saying is, you have the power. You have the ability to attain wealth. God will open up things for you. I love talking to Sean Walker. He's newer to the church and all these kind of things. And God's opened up paintball parks all around the USA. It started with one little dream. Started stretching them to more. Now it's opened into all these alternatives. You know why? Because his thinking is expanded. God's vision for his life expanded. He's grabbed a hold of vision, and he's saying, I'm going to be fearless. It's amazing, man. I was doing masterminds, and I owned a coaching company in chiropractic, and I thought, man, that's the pinnacle, the peak, the tip of the spear of what I was going to do. And then God says, why are you building outside of my house? Why aren't you coaching people with a God vision to build my kingdom? You're helping other people generate wealth, but there's no legacy, lasting purpose, except filling in their own bank accounts. I got so convicted that I was being a little stubborn, and then God slammed the door. I was like, man, why do I have to wait until God slams the door? He gave me grace to protect me, shut the door, and I'm thankful for it, but why wouldn't I listen the first time? I was holding on to something, and this is why it's so important to understand this, and I'll go quick, but he has to ignite a vision on the inside of you. It's for a different life he wants you to live. Commit to the lifestyle of listening to his voice. See, I've heard God many times, but I always didn't listen. See, he said to Elijah, does anyone ever get Elisha and Elijah, kind of like who's who? Let me help you out. You want to hear my revelation? Yeah, J comes before S. See how that went down there? Elijah. This is easy Bible time. I was like, it took me 42 years to figure that out. I'm always thinking, is it Elijah? Elisha? I don't even want to quote that scripture. Now I know. In the middle of the night, he told me, it's not that hard. A J comes before an S. Okay. If you don't know what I'm talking about, you will when you start reading 1 Kings, okay? So the Lord said to Elijah, anoint Elijah, the son of Snaphet, and Abel, to succeed you as a prophet. That's in 1 Kings 19, 15 through 16. Here's what I got out of this. God is often working behind the scenes of your life, orchestrating his destiny for you, even though you don't have a clue about it. How many of you know, like, my wife didn't have a clue, but God was already working on her heart when I saw her at that San Diego airport. I'm telling you, God was already orchestrating that whole thing to work out. I said, you want to go to church? She said, yes. He was already orchestrating what the next moves were. He already knew she was going to be a kids' church pastor. Do you think on the second week, if she got, hey, you're going to be a kids' church pastor, she might have freaked out. Yeah. She still had to learn about Noah's Ark, people. Kids' church was a little bit, the gap was too big. But how many know God's already got that vision for her working behind the scenes? So listen, God was already orchestrating what Elijah was going to do with Elisha. Here's what I love about Elisha. Do you have enough faith to believe God is preparing something greater for you right now? Do you have enough faith for that? Let me tell you what Elisha did. While you're doing your best in life as it exists, you're looking for invitations to new things God has in store for you. Be like, let God start to move and be the invitation for something bigger. Be open. Say, God, you can do something bigger. God, you can do something bigger. Blow my mind. See, he came to him. Most important, Elisha ran after Elijah. The story tells us in verse 20. You could read it due to time. I'm skipping it. But most important, he ran after him. Are you ready to run after God's vision for your life? You hear it, you run after it. Don't make mistakes like me. It's like Forrest Gump listening. I was way slow at it. The first thing Elisha did when God called him to become Elijah's successor was to burn his plow and use the resulting fire to cook all his animals. Here's why. Continuing his old trade, he was in a field every day with oxen, plowing the field on the oxen, thinking this is all for my life. And in a moment, this prophet comes and says, you're gonna be my successor. Throws his garment on him and bails. He chases him. Elisha ran after Elijah. I've realized I got to do a little bit more running after God when he gives me a big vision. And he's given me some big vision, starting to freak me out in a good way. I'm just trying to trust him more. I'm trying to surrender more. He burned his stuff so he wouldn't go back to it. Continuing his old trade would have been conforming to the pattern of this world, not because there's anything wrong with plowing a field with oxen, but because God was specifically calling him into something bigger for his life. You know, it reminds me of a story, and this is a true story. It was a stripper that came into my office. She hurt her neck, flipping her neck around on the pole. It is what it is, people. I don't know. She came in,
She said, I hurt my neck. I'm like, what do you do? She told me, interesting. And I said, you know, God has a bigger purpose for your life than stripping. You're a beautiful girl. What's up with that? She goes, I need the money. I said, what if I helped you find a way to generate more money? She goes, there's no way. I'm like, fine, do you believe in God? She goes, well, I don't really know. I said, can I pray for you? I prayed for her. She comes to church at C3 and gives her life to Christ. First Sunday. Gets me choked up to think about it. She goes back the next day and burns the ship and she quits. But before she does, she walks in and she waits for this one guy that came every time. And she witnessed to him and he gave his life to Christ right there. She comes to church, gets radical, steps out in faith, becomes a massage therapist. It's not making the money she was making, but she knows her heart's right. And she says, I'm gonna start a stripper ministry. So she went to The Rock because they already had something. It exploded. She gave her testimony to 20,000 people. She helped explode the stripper ministry at The Rock, which sounds crazy, but guess what? I was thinking to myself, oh my gosh, you know what her vision was? I'm gonna go back and get every girl in there saved. We're gonna shut down these gentlemen's clubs. And I'm thinking to myself, you're right. They're gonna have to go hire unattractive people and the men are gonna stop. Oh my God, that was her vision. It's still her vision. And I'm telling you, she's still on fire for Jesus. She's one of the best massage therapists that I could ever recommend. I'm telling you, life wouldn't be the same, but God gave her, boom, cracked it wide open with one word. In 1519, Captain Cortez landed on the Veracruz to begin his great conquest. Upon arriving, he gave the order to his men to burn the ships. As I imagine it, someone laughed at him, and he thrust his sword into him and killed him. That was my part. You know, I saw Pirates of the Caribbean. I figured that would be it's definitely what he did. He was playing. Cortez was really Johnny Depp. Here's the lesson. Retreat is easy when you have the option. Andy? Let me tell you this. We all cling to something that acts as our escape hatch. When God puts such a vision out in front of us, it makes us nervous. What's our safety net? What does the devil whisper in our ear just in case? We lie to ourselves. If we're honest, we would say, this is my safety net just in case I get scared. But we don't say that because no one wants to admit fear. But fear is what limits us from walking into the God vision for us. We postpone action. We no longer feel fear. Either that or the actions are shallow attempts and never designed to succeed. We personally self-sabotage, but we make excuses. In reality, we must learn like Elijah and burn it all. This doesn't make sense. We love that phrase. We love to hide behind it. We say things don't make sense. God, why are you calling me into ministry? I'm a chiropractor. I'm successful. I have a coaching business. Everything I'm doing, my life is epic right now. Why are you calling me into ministry? See, it would have made sense if he burned all the ships, maybe kept one for himself. But you know what I love about Cortez? He knew he didn't want that option. He forced himself and his men to either succeed or die. Retreat was no option. This isn't kingdom building. This wasn't salvation on the line. This was just taking some ground. It's exactly what we're doing in the kingdom. Lives are on the line. So we have to ask ourselves, what are my ships? What am I afraid to let go of? What do I need to burn? What is it that makes it hard to burn? Is it a false sense of obligation to it? Is it a fear of the unknown? Is it the fear of perceived as a failure? What is it? I'm having my own internal dialogue. I have been having it. Is it that your current job, your employment, maybe stepping out in faith and your first vision builders ever? What do we got to burn and trust God? What I've learned over all these years, the level of incongruency in my life has been the level of destruction in my life. I say one thing, but I do another. It's living a double-minded way. God wants to bless us, but we got to line up our life accordingly. You know, Elisha made a sharp break from the past. He was transformed to follow God's good, pleasing, and perfect will for the greater life of a prophet. Have a dream, then give it to God. The first thing God is calling you to do in order to fulfill greater purpose in your life is just surrender it.
He wasn't calling us to be greater than him. He was just calling us to be greater through him by using his power living on the inside of us to do greater things for his glory. That's why I love Pastor Juergen. I've witnessed him on Sundays, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. He's a man of faith with vision. God will call different people to do different things, but it will always be something greater. That's how I know it's a God thing. God doesn't have us shrink back. He has us step out. What I've learned is I can think too far ahead. Well, what if? How do I rationalize that? Now it's just like, oh, we made a vision pledge. I don't even know how. You know what I'm saying? Like, how do I know how? I don't know. It's one step. It's one step. I wanted God to give me a navigation system. How am I going to fulfill that pledge, Lord? You know what he said? I want to be your navigation system. I was asking God for a nav system. He said, no, I want to be your nav system. We got to walk by faith. What if God gave you one word? Would that be good enough for you? You know, Abraham was told to go. Peter was told to come. Didn't give him instructions how to walk on water. Didn't give him an instruction manual. There's no YouTube videos. Buy my 12-step point book. Infusionsoft, here we go. We're going to my 12-step program. No, he said, just come. He got one word. What if God said, stay? Stay in a marriage. Stay in a job. What if he said, I will provide? Turn the other cheek. I mean, I just got taken by a partner, and God tells me, don't sue the guy. I knew it was the devil, so I prayed again. And then the instructions got worse. I just got to be faithful. I got to trust God. Think that's easy? No, but you know what? I said I was in. All of us have challenge, problems, fears, and anxieties. We worry about the future, but we got to trust God. And then what happens is faith starts to build. We start to heal. We start to step out. It's not equal giving. It's equal sacrifice. It's just what I may be giving may be stretching me, but it's not what God's calling you to give in Vision Builders, what he's calling you to do in your workplace, yelling you to let go of that job even though you don't have certainty for the next future. God said, listen, you're trying to get your finances ordered. I didn't tell you to move somewhere. I told you stay within this number. We rationalize saying San Diego, it's too expensive, so I'll have to move because you gave me the number. But God can move supernaturally. He just gave you the number to help you with finances. Don't pay more than this in rent. He didn't tell you to move. He just said, be faithful and honor that number. And now let him work it out where you get a mansion in San Diego for the price no one else could get. That's where God, it becomes supernatural. And I wrap it with this. So what's going to happen is we're going to put the baskets up here. I'm going to pray for you, and I want us to faithfully just think about a number. If you've already pledged, hey, keep pledging again in that atmosphere. Not more, but just write it down and do it again. Make a commitment. This is one time a year where we get to take ground. We get to go after that building. We get to do greater things. This kids' building, Pastor Juergen went down to the South Kids' building today. He says it's the most epic playground he's ever seen. And you North is even going to be better. 4 to 6 weeks' time, no pressure. But we'll bring these out, because here's what I know. For some, God's vision may only require a few weeks to be realized. Others, it may be years. But he has a specific vision for each and every one of you. The revelation I got last night. Oh my God, I thought what is it? There's a twofold plan for every single one of us sitting in this house tonight. You know what that is? To know Jesus and reproduce that life of Christ and other people. That's it, twofold plan. Now listen, he has a unique vision on top of that twofold plan. Plan is that everyone in this house knows Jesus, has a personal relationship with him, and then we can reproduce that in others. But then God has a unique vision for each of his children, and nothing will infuse our lives with more meaning, fulfillment, and purpose than investing to make God's vision a reality. I used to think, man, I'm going to make money for my house. No. I'm happy where I'm at. But now I want to take ground for the kingdom. And what happens is God gives seed to the sower. And he says, you build my house, I will build your house. And it's amazing to watch my friends that stood here today to watch how God has done things in their life. And you know what? Sometimes it's multiple businesses. Sometimes, man, when I started, I was driving for Uber. Now, see, now I own my own business. I never thought I owned my own business. Man, I just sold that thing for X amount. Now God's giving me another thing. Listen, if he does it for one person, why wouldn't he do it for you? Each and every one of you, he gave a little desire of your heart, and that little desire turned into something more. Maybe turned into one orange tree that turned into a whole yield of crops, which turned into something beautiful that expanded your mind. He'll put you in the right relationships around. Maybe you don't think big, he'll get you around people that think big. Pastor Juergen led the way. He stood on a word to move to San Diego. Then the word was to buy North Campus. Then the word was to be one campus, four locations. Now it's 16 locations. God is doing something big in our lives. We just got to surrender and trust because there's no other way. And then vision and generosity flow out of that spring of life. So I'm going to pray and just open this up, this altar up, so you can come drop in your vision cards right here, your commitments pledge. The first fruit commitment is just about, hey, I'm going to sow something today. And the one thing I'll tell you about C3, I used to be like, my wife and I like, oh, let's just go big. But I realized that here's what I've learned. I'm going to do something I can do because I can always give more. And I'm going to watch God supernaturally touch it. Since then, since Vision Builders is what my Mind Mastery company came out of. God gave me a vision for my declaration cards. For my Lion Chasing's Mastermind came out of Vision Builder Sunday. For my book, The Maverick Entrepreneur, came out of my Vision Builder Sunday last year. All these things, every time the Vision Builders come around, God gives me a new thing that I got to go work on. And he says, all that's to generate wealth for my kingdom. I keep sowing, he keeps building. It's for each and every one of you here. So let me pray. God, I thank you for tonight. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you're stirring faith. That God, that you're stretching us. Not too big that will overwhelm us, Lord, but you're taking all anxiety and fear and crushing it. God, I thank you for the tools and the resources that this house has. Lord, the pathways, the serve, connect, grow, and the lead. God, I thank you for that you're raising up leaders. As there's 16 campuses around San Diego, God, we're going to need campus pastors. We're going to need youth leaders. We're going to need high team volunteers. We're going to need people that love people to step up and step out in faith, God. Lord, stir something tonight. God, we pray for increase over Vision Builders. That God, it is more than enough, overabundance. Lord, I know our pastor on his heart heard a word of 5 million. But God, exceedingly abundantly, more than we could ask or think, we make that prayer tonight. God, I thank you, Lord, that you're giving new business concepts and mindsets to your house. In your son's name we pray, amen.
Thank you so much for joining us online. We hope you had a powerful experience. We want to take this time to personally help you navigate the next steps in becoming connected. If you made a decision for Christ today, need prayer, or want more information about our church, go to our website, c3sandiego.com. And if you didn't get a chance to give online during service and would like to contribute financially, you can go to c3give.com and click on the giving option that works best for you. We look forward to hearing from you. See you at church.